All right. Hey, welcome to the Apply Rigor podcast, where we equip business owners and executives with tools and resources to power through valleys of failure into peaks of success. And this is episode 2. And today we've got a special guest, kind of. He is special. Kind of. He's the co-host of the podcast, Dave Bennett. He is the CEO of David Bennett Company, and he's going to be sharing with us his story of how he's gone through times of struggle into great seasons of success and hopeful for the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me here, John. Dave, it's always such a dynamic, amazing pleasure to be in the room with such amazing thought. That's a really great response. It took him 5 seconds at least. Did you count? But hey, thanks for having me.
Good. Glad to have you. So tell us your story. Like, what? Give us the rundown. Bring us into the background of who you are and how you got to where you're at and where you're planning on going.
Cool. So I spent about 13 years at a Fortune 200 global logistics company. After that, spent about 4 as the executive pastor at a multi-location church whose headquarters are here in North Carolina, really as the number 2 there running the show in terms of staff, ministry areas, those types of things. And going back to, you know, my roots in business, my first 4 years there were amazing. I really was able to work with some incredible leaders and really learn how to grow business. It's what happened after that that I think really began to form me and to help create in me the grit and really force me to figure out how to use rigor to my advantage that I really started to learn a lot. So when I moved after those 4 years, I moved to Atlanta to take over a branch in that company that was failing. That year they lost about $905,000 in net income, so almost $1 million. And I had come from a top, top 10 location. And so I also then skipped to a different side of the organization I hadn't been on. So there were a lot of different moving parts. And so really the way the culture was, if you were to walk in the door, was it was one of two things. It was either like a library where everybody was in short wall cubes and they didn't talk, very quiet, which drives me bananas. I don't know about you guys. The other side of that was there was a whole lot of just yelling and screaming at each other when something would go wrong. So there was no in between. Who wants to work there?
No.
No one. All right. So, you know, walk into that. And so, you know, one of the things people ask me is, you know, when I go into a dysfunctional environment, if I'm the leader and I have to figure out how to change it, what is the first thing I should do? And this is something I learned. One of my mentors taught me was, hey, just make a list. Make a list of all the things that are wrong that you see that need to get better. At least then you'll know what to attack and how to attack it. Mm-hmm. And so that was something I began to do. And in those first 2 years, we fixed people issues. We got rid of the wrong people. We tried to hire the right people, and I wasn't perfect. Sometimes I still hired the wrong people because you really don't know until they're in the walls. And we worked through all that. But really, you know, when we think about this idea of apply rigor and the matrix, my real true peak came, I'm not peak, I'm sorry, valley came about, like I said, just about 2 years into that experience. And it was a valley that really challenged me more than anything I ever had in my life and really forced me to learn how to put my head down and just drive. You know, and
you willing so, to are you willing to share like what that valley may have looked like?
Yeah, I can. You know, it was one of these things where, you know, we were fixing the people issues. The morale was really high. You know, one of the best ways to turn something around is to obviously grow business, right? You know, new business and sales is the lifeblood of any organization, as my friend Ken Sein likes to say. And we had that. Everything was going great. And one of our top 3 accounts stopped paying their invoices. And within our organization, if an invoice ages over 120 days, it gets taken off of your bottom line. And I find this out in the fall, and I start to do the math, and I figure out we are about to take $800,000 in the shorts 2 weeks before the end of the year. Mm. Now, you got to understand something. The bonus structure for the people there really shows that bonus represents 30% of their income in that year. And that's paid in one lump sum in January. And so really what I'm looking at is what you're all going, oh no, and trust me, I'm there too. I understand we're about to wipe out everybody's bonuses.
Oh my God.
Everything's going to be gone. And they hadn't gotten a bonus in 4 years. And so we were already in new territory for a lot of these people, and they were pumped. And so I had to kind of pull myself up by the bootstraps and get in front of my people when I figured this out. And I was extremely honest with them. I told them exactly where we were. They were pissed. You know, they were not happy. Yeah, you know, they weren't happy. I was frustrated. You know, one of my mentors who we're going to have on this podcast soon, Steve Adams, former president of a bank, you know, serial entrepreneur. Steve really kind of walked alongside me through the process. And that's one of the things that we espouse is, you know, as you're going through that valley, have somebody there with you, you know, have somebody there to encourage you. And, you know, we put together a payment plan. But yeah, at the end of the year, there was nothing there. It was the worst. And so I expected most of my staff to leave. And by March, we had one person leave, which blew my mind, you know. And by May, we had collected everything else. And so then when you collect that plus 150-day money the next year, it comes in as pure profit on your bottom line. And so we were able to pay big bonuses. But, you know, I just explained something in 2 minutes. That wasn't a two-minute process.
Yeah.
That was a process where we had to get up, and I had to get up every single day and look myself in the mirror and say, you've got to go after it. You've got to drive. You've got to work freaking as hard as you can to keep your people engaged, your other clients engaged, and to continue to drive excellence.
And so go back to that place. You're waking up every day. You're waking up every day. You guys are already negative.
Yeah.
You're up against, we've got to climb out of negative just to get even.
Yep.
And then to go positive. So, like, what is that feeling? What's going on inside of you? Because that I know that the listeners, viewers, they're going to be feeling a lot of that. Of like, I hear you, and I feel this way. I've got no hope that I'm going to come out of this in March. What were you feeling in the moment, in the present, before March came, before the good came?
Well, it's funny, you know, Dave. I love your, you know, I love your definition of hope, right? The belief that change is possible, and you know, that was something that I literally had to almost say out loud to myself every single day is, okay, David, you guys have a plan of how you're going to get out. Now you have to execute to the plan. And whether or not you execute to the plan cannot be based on how you feel. It has to be based on actual forward motion, because there were days I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to happen. And there were months where I'm going, I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, I've got to be able to lead at a high enough level that the people around me still have the confidence in me to actually lead them there.
When you're in that moment, what was the tool that you went to? Like, what was something that you pulled to say, okay, I'm going to use this in my toolbox?
I'll be honest with you. The tool I used was my actual relationships with my mentors. Before then, it was kind of haphazard when we would talk. Through that process, I got really specific about scheduling time on my calendar with them, you know, and it wasn't because I was trying to be a baby or I was needy, and maybe I was a little needy, but I needed to have those moments I could look forward to that I could unpack that conversation with somebody, because I couldn't talk to my people about how I was feeling, right? And it wasn't that I wasn't authentic. But, yeah, you know,
you're the leader.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, if I'm really showing them, man, I'm scared to death or whatever, they lose confidence in me. Yeah. And so in order for my cup to be full of confidence, I need somebody else to pour into that.
Yeah.
And so I'd be able to share with them, here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what's happening. And they'd be able to say great things like, Dave, what you're going through is totally normal. You know, it's okay to feel that way. Or, you know, let's stay positive and see the things that have happened. You know, how is the rest of your sales pipeline for your group going? You know, what are you guys landing that's good? And having those conversations. And, you know, I would try to have some of that with some of our leaders. You know, some of our, you know, the executive that I reported to, it didn't always work great because he was still pretty crispy about what had happened. But that was really what I did. It was I just leaned harder into the network that I had developed,
community,
that knew me and what I was made of, that can continue to kind of push and propel me forward. Other than that, the other thing that I did that you asked, what did we lean into, was we celebrated everything. And that was the first thing, one of the first things we did that first year I was there, but we kept going. We, you know, any little win we had, we would celebrate, so we'd build momentum. We actually had a team begin to build events for our team to hang out and have fun. It wasn't to distract, it was to draw in. It was to make it so that we were creating an environment and a family within that organization so that come hell or high water, we knew we were in it to win it. We were still in it together. And so that's kind of a longer answer to your question.
When you think about that process, what was the highest high and the lowest low? Like, what was the peak in the valley?
The highest high was right before I found out that we were going down, because we were growing business. We were skyrocketing up in year two, way ahead of projection, and everybody was pumped. And so as is life, right, you're here and you're going, man, and everybody's already starting to count their money, right? And then all of a sudden you get the phone call from the VP of sales. Yeah, we haven't hit our numbers in like the last 4 or 5 months. We're not going to have money to pay you. And in a moment, you're here and you're here. I got the phone call, ironically, when I was at a business review with our biggest client. And that one was pretty darn difficult, because then I got to walk back to then be excited to be with our biggest client when our second biggest client is completely falling apart in front of me. And I'm going, how am I going to do this? I got to focus on you. You're my client. How am I going to do this? Got to still focus on you. And my brain's just, you know, winding and spinning, trying to figure out how to do this, you know. And then on the other side of the valley, when you're climbing back up, was every month we would collect a check that next year that they were paying. It was just one more inch and one more inch and one more inch. And when we got to May, this is funny, at the end, we needed one more check. The CFO says, yeah, we're not going to pay the last one because we have issues with some stuff that you guys did and how you didn't provide service. And I started laughing and I was like, no, this is not a conversation we're going to have right now. The only conversation we're going to have is when I can come pick up the check. And he's like, yeah, but. I'm like, no, there's no yeah, but. This is it. This is what we're talking about. You need to pay. And, you know, we got that last check and, you know, our group just rejoiced big time because everybody had realized we just weathered a big time storm in those first 5 months. We were also up and just pure, you know, regular new business as well. And so from there on, the next 5 years, we recorded net income awards within our company, and it was, you know, everything was in the rearview mirror at that point.
So looking back on that experience, we're winding down here. When you think about what the actual issue was, was it the actual finances? I mean, that triggered the emotions, but what was was it the confidence in you as a leader? Was it the direction that you were trying to give? Was it the actual money that, or was the money just a byproduct of the issue?
I think it was a combination of things. You know, I think, first of all, it was a very deep issue inside of me that says, if this crap really hits the fan, did I just lose my influence? Are they going to have to replace me, because now everybody's going to stop following me because they don't trust me? Mm-hmm. The more surfacey issue was, I want these people to get paid, man. They've never experienced this, but they're going to experience it with me, right? So there's ego, you know? And so, you know, I want them to experience something great. And so you're balancing these two things of the personal of, are they still going to trust me as their leader? And then, you know, the personal for them, which is, are you still going to get paid? And so, you know, it was wrestling that through. And at the end of the day, what happened was the trust they had in me, because I came to them and was honest in the beginning. And then the plan I laid out to them, I didn't just hide it and say, only our leadership team will know and create this bureaucratic crap. No, I was very upfront with them. It's their money too. And I said, here's a plan. And I updated them on the plan every way so that when we got to that finish line, we got to that finish line. It wasn't me. It was us, and we all partied together, man. It was awesome.
Well, and in the beginning, you did share that what you started with was a culture that was not community-driven.
Yep.
And I do think we should highlight that. What you had to have as you walked through your own personal valley, you needed community.
Yep.
Someone to come around you and support you. And then so did your team.
Yeah.
And you as a leader had to rally and create that community basically from scratch.
Right.
And once you did that, that's when the peak started to come.
Yeah.
I would argue that the valley was already coming because there was a lack of community.
Yeah.
Because there was a lack of family. And you inherited that going down and then had to build it coming back up.
Sure.
With community, with people. Cloud and Townsend, they call it energy. People are energy. I think we shared that in the first episode, that that's what brings us back up to get us to the goals.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your story with us. Last thing, give it to us quick. When you're on the peak, when you're at a place now where things are more stable, they're good, you've got hope for the future, what is it that inspires you?
Man, what inspires me is this whole reason of why I do what I do is the fact that there's still more potential. There's still more that's out there. When you're at a peak, is that really the highest peak you can be? Because if it is, quite honestly, that's kind of depressing. There's got to be more. And so for me as a provoker of potential, when I'm at the peak, I'm still asking myself what more is out there and what more could we do to serve people, to help them win, to, you know, to help them grow and to do all of the things that we've been created to do as catalysts of growth. Mm.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thanks for sharing your story with us. And we hope to see, I hope the peak just continues for you, man. And continue to kill it and continue to walk forward and as you go through ups and downs. And thank you guys for listening with us, tuning in. Next week, we'll be sharing some more stories of our personal podcast hosting. You'll hear from Mr. Dave Jones and myself, John Sierra. And then moving beyond that, we'll also have some other entrepreneurs in the mix sharing their stories. So keep listening, keep coming back, share it with your friends, and connect with us online. Thanks.